Welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sam Zhu, and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today, we have Chad Yang as a guest. Chad Yang is the East Regional Director for Hmong Youth Ministry and a leader at First Hmong Baptist Church in Morganton, North Carolina. Hello, Chad. How are you?
Hello, Pastor Sammy.
Hey, Chad, thanks so much for your time to do this podcast. I'm so excited to get to know you more.
Yes, sir, I am too. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. So this is the first episode. In the first episode, we normally talk about our personal life. So I have a few personal story questions. So first question for you is, can you tell us about your family, Chad?
Absolutely. I am a child of four. There's a boy or girl boy. So I'm the oldest boy, but the second child. And grew up in a Hmong family. I was born in Fresno, California. And I was raised in a Christian home. And what that means is to the listeners is, I was brought up in church. That doesn't make me any better of a human being than the next person. All that means is I was raised in a church, and we don't have all the answers, but grew up in church, and I heard all the stories of Noah and the flood to Moses and parting the Red Sea as a child, and grew up in California until about I was 10, and then we moved to North Carolina, and that's how we ended up here in North Carolina, and we've been here ever since. My parents are a product of the Vietnam War, coming out of the refugee camps, coming over to the United States, obviously to have not only a better life for themselves, but a better life for their children, myself and my siblings included. And that's how we're here in North Carolina.
Great. So how do you think about your experience in North Carolina? Do you remember your life in California, and how is it different from there and here?
The only thing I remember in California was that the fog was really heavy during the fall, and the summers were really dry and hot. So, I was still a child, so being 10 years old, you just want to play baseball, or at least and for me, it was soccer. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the things that I remember was growing up in North Carolina. So if anybody was to say, hey, where did you grow up? I would answer, North Carolina.
So, North Carolinian. So
through and through, baby.
man. That's good. So my next question, I think you addressed it a little bit, but how did you come to faith in Jesus?
Yeah. So again, grew up in the church, and I got baptized at 18. So, I legitimately was fresh out of high school, and, I would go to church every Sunday, but, my uncle at the time, he sang a song called, He Walked a Mile by Clay Cross. And, at that age, you're still going through, or at least for me, an identity crisis, and your parents are hounding on you to move on with life after high school. And so, I was caught in those crossroads, and that song really spoke to me. And that was, the lyrics in that song really helped magnify what I needed to do. And, to accept, believe, and confess my sins to Him and accept Him as my Lord and Savior. So, at 18, got baptized, but then without the mentorship or the coaching involved in spiritual growth, I immediately fell off of the my faith, my personal faith. And so it wasn't until 2014 when I actually came back home from Orlando, because I moved to Orlando. I saw something in my immediate family. And I didn't know what it was, but I wanted what they had. But of course, what they had was the Holy Spirit, because they have been growing consistently in the church. And so when I came back, I was in or around 27, 28 years old. And that was when I truly wanted to be fully submersed, 2 feet in, on one side of the fence, to truly grow in Christ, grow my vertical in Him, and serve Him.
Hmm. Great. No, thank you. That's great. Who is the biggest influence in your life?
Again, it's my family, you know, not only just my immediate family, but, you know, I have uncles and cousins on my mom's side, on my dad's side. And, you know, it's not everybody, you know, it's just a very select few. But, you know, coming from an Asian background, you know, we have a lot of cultural hindrances, if you will. And so to be Asian and to be a Christian on top of that, it's almost kind of rare. To some degree. So, yeah, I would say just my family. And so that says a lot with, you know, the kind of people that you're hanging around. And so, you know, at that time when I was 27, 28 years old, obviously I was a little older in life, but, you know, it, not that it sounds, or I don't mean it to sound bad, but I didn't really have any friends that I can go and hang out with. So, it was just my family that I was hanging around with. And so, yeah, and it ended up just being my family was my biggest influence.
Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have any life verse from scripture?
Yes, I do. Currently right now it's Romans 12:2. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I preach this all the time to the youth at our church, to our some of the guys in the, within the region that, you know, scripture doesn't say we have to have one, but my personal experiences from having one is that, you know, it gives you a focal point to go back to, or at least that's how I would use mine. And so anytime I feel, you know, the experiences of life happening, you know, I would have my personal life scripture to go to. And mine's Romans 12:2. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I believe that through and through. And, you know, you could wake me up at 4:40 a.m. in the morning and ask me what my life verse is, and I will spit it out immediately and fall right back to sleep. Because, yeah, that's how I know my personal life verse and how it helps me. So, yeah, Romans 12:2 is my personal life verse.
Amen. That's great. Now, Chad, so you were born and grew up in America, your life and you know, I'm Korean American. You're Hmong American, and I have some Hmong American friends. But I'm curious about your experience growing up as Hmong American in the United States. Mm-hmm. So, how was your experience like?
Yeah, you know, we would grow up speaking Hmong, which is our native language, and then, you know, once we'd go into school, we'd have to learn English. And so, again, it wasn't even later in life. Around the same time, 27, 28, when I came back home from Orlando, that I realized that, man, being bilingual is really cool. So, you know, as a kid though, you know, you're just a kid. You're not really focused on that. So, little did I know I was bilingual at the time growing up. And of course, it's just the, nature of, you know, growing up in America, or I think anywhere for that matter, but, you know, we faced, or I faced my fair share of racism as well, you know, growing up in America. But outside of that though, it wasn't too bad. You know, if anything, it was just our own home people that probably made it the experience much worse than what it had to be. But even through all that, you know, looking back on it as I'm growing my vertical, you know, it was just God was just trying to say something to me through those experiences. And I'm not even sure what those experiences really mean just yet, but I believe it did strengthen my my vertical with Him, and to learn how to give my own people the same amount of grace that He gives me every day. So, and you know, being able to experience different cultures, different foods, obviously, and knowing how to communicate not just with Hmong people, but with every other kind of, you know, cultures that I was surrounded by. So, you know, being in the South, you know, I can eat fried rice and then turn around and go have biscuits and gravy, you know, and it's all good. Yeah. So the experiences have been, yep, it's been really fun growing up. Hmong, and in the South as well. And, you know, I've been told that I have a country twang in my English too. So listeners, listen out for that, you know, and it's been really fun. So if I had to sum it up, you know, yes, it was rough growing up, but I think now as an adult, it's just more fun than anything. So I'm very appreciative of the Southern lifestyle and culture that I've been able to incorporate in my Hmong culture or identity as well growing up. So,
Wow, that's great. Now, Chad, what are you most passionate about?
Right now, I'm really passionate about just continue playing the drums and in worship through song. Mm-hmm. For those of the listeners who don't know, I play drums, and you know, I grew up playing the drums. My dad was in a band. My uncle was also in a band, and so not that that was by default, but as a kid, you know, that's what you're surrounded by, and you just kind of do what they do. And so I believe God instilled that in me to fast forward to today, where, man, that passion really is still growing inside me, not only to become a better drummer, but a better drummer in the worship of, you know, playing music to reach out to those, to kind of give people an in into, you know, getting to know Christ, or, you know, just getting around some Christians who are, you know, just worshiping. Because I think for some non-believers, it's almost like they didn't know that we could play drums in the church. So, you know, with having talents like that, I believe it's a good, you know, common ground for other musicians. Mm-hmm. And I'm also very passionate right now with being the East Region Young Adults and Youth Director, to be able to connect with the parents. And that's where my bilingual side comes into play. And with the with our Hmong parents, you know, they see it as a sign of respect when you talk to them in the native tongue. So being able to connect with them and, you know, sharing with them what we're trying to do within the young adults and youth ministry here in the East Region, you know, I hold no information from anyone. I try to get it out as fast as I can and connect everyone. So that way, when I show up to your church and, you know, I tell the parents, when I ask your kids for help, don't be surprised, you know, because I can't do it all and I need help, and they might be that help. And it's already happened a couple of times. And it's so nice to hear the parents go, "Oh, Chad, the guy that's still kind of young and he can speak Hmong fairly well and English fairly well, and he's trying to connect us all together, right?" And, and their kids say, "Yeah, him." And they go, "Oh yeah, yeah, he's good to go. You're good to go." And, you know, it makes the process flow so much smoother. So the my passion for that has been growing as well, and to get to know these Hmong parents on a level that I think they're not used to, because I can't speak for any other Asian culture out there, but for at least for the Hmong culture, our Hmong parents are they're not known to be so open or to make friends so easily. And so, you know, with someone like me, not that I'm, you know, special by any means, but that can speak in a way where it makes sense to them, and they can, you know, make sense of what I'm trying to do with their kids or their youth or their church or even the parents. It really helps. And so with those two passions coming together right now, you know, I cannot wait to see what God can do with, you know, the future partnerships that are going to come into play, or future relationships or current relationships that are already starting to form. So.
Wow, that's great. So you're a connector, you're a bridge between the first generation and the next generation, right?
Yes, sir. And it is really difficult from time to time, but, you know, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. So,
Yeah, I can see a lot of second generations who are bilingual. The God-given potential is huge, because, you know, they can definitely make a lot of out of this relationships that they build between first and the next generations for the Great Commission. But yeah, that's exciting to hear that you're actually living it out already. Yeah, that's great. Can you?
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Can you share some highlights of your life?
Yeah, highlights. Yeah, when all again, one for sure is being able to play the drums within the church. I love being able to utilize what I'm good at within the church, especially when the church needs that specific talent. And so, you know, with playing the drums, I did take a long hiatus, but coming back into it, when our church or that I attend, First Hmong and Morganton, was like, hey, you know, we want to form a band. And, you know, we were, or they were asking people who can play what, and so many people did not know that I could play drums. And so, you know, when everything was laid out, and, you know, it just, man, God's vision really is on his time, and everything just came together so well. So, you know, I'm still very excited about that highlight of God being able to provide an opportunity to where I can use my drumming talent within advancing his kingdom. I'm also very excited about the changes right now, not only within the East region of the Hmong Baptist, but nationwide. I believe the Hmong Baptist is coming upon some changes right now that we have not seen in a long time. Me as the second generation, now that I'm 35 years old, so you know, considered an adult pretty much, you know, we're taking that forefront now, and those who have gone before us to blaze the path, you know, it's inevitable, you know, they're not going to be around forever, and they're starting to loosen those reins a little bit, if not already starting to pass them over to us. And so now that we can implement our changes that we have seen growing up as kids, you know, the generation behind us, the, let's just say the 13 to 20 year olds, man, they're getting all kinds of good stuff. And I wish that more of them can truly recognize that these changes are happening. But at the same time, I don't think they know to ask those kind of questions either. So, but with the changes that are happening now, those to me are big highlights that I'm so passionate to see, because you know, if you just take our annual camp that the Hmong Baptists have called Standing Stones, you know, that started back in 96, and then the way it's evolved now, we have, you know, like themed nights where we can do, you know, wear your favorite superhero shirt night, or you know, wear your merchandise night. And, you know, like we used to just show up and that was it, you know? So it's the organization coming together so much more smoothly and top notch. The leaders that are involved are top notch. You know, they're not just some Joe Schmo that showed up. You know, these are our leaders nationwide that are truly growing in their faith as well. And so when God orchestrates his people on his time, man, these highlights, we're kind of all enjoying them together. And I just really, truly pray that, you know, our generation behind us can recognize these changes when they're my age and go, man, I remember that time when I was 19, 20, when, you know, Chad was yelling at us. He actually wasn't yelling. He was just giving direction. And, you know, and he was very aware of these changes. And so, and, you know, it's not just me, it's a bunch of other leaders as well. But yeah, I would say right now, those are probably the two biggest highlights that, you know, keep me super excited for the generation that's coming up behind me, because not only is it important to grow myself, but it is important to grow the generation behind us as well. So I would say those are the two biggest highlights, is implementing my talents that God has given me to advance his kingdom, and of course recognizing the change within serving in his kingdom, and to make it better for the generation behind us.
Wow, that's exciting. Really super exciting. All right, Chad, my last question is, what's your plan for the next 5, 10, or 15 years down the road?
Well, right now, of course, finish out my term for the East region. I believe I have until 2020. March of 2020. And then, you know, some future things that I would like to do is possibly, of course, serve still stay serving in the ministry, but I want to tap into more of my musical side of the house. And I've recognized that, you know, again, I can't speak for any other Asian cultures other than the Hmong culture, but Hmong parents aren't very prone to encourage their kids to pick up an instrument. And if they do pick up an instrument, it's, you know, hey, learn it off of your cousin, or, you know, check out some links from YouTube. And very few people get some professional to come in and train their kids. Mm. And so when that happens, you know, hey, some kids are naturally gifted, as they should be, and it's great. But what I've noticed, at least within the Hmong communities now, a lot of them can't even read music. Or understand rhythm, you know, or how to count rhythm, or anything like that, or read notes. So I would like to possibly be some sort of an educator in that department. Mm. And, you know, especially within our churches. And because I don't think they recognize how important that is. Because, you know, again, what if we ever get to a level where, you know, we can play on a stage like Winter Jam? You know, and then, hey, they just need you for Winter Jam. But if they're speaking the music language and you don't know what they're talking about, it you know, it's going to be a pretty difficult night. Yeah. So, yeah, Hmong kids nowadays, from what I've seen, are so talented, but they need that push. And on top of that, the professional side of the house to come and intertwine within that push. And, you know, me being a drummer myself, I see that within these kids, and you know, it's hard when you don't have that professional background to, you know, kind of help you expand into the knowledge of what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's to play music and to worship God, but it also says to play skillfully.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes.
So of course, yeah, of course, I'm taking that out of context a little, but you know, it doesn't hurt to be good at what you do, you know, and so. Mm-hmm. I'm sure if you look at artists like Big Daddy Weave or Chris Tomlin, Phil Wickham, you know, I'm pretty sure they never thought that they would hit a big stage like they are today. But, you know, of course, that was God's plan for them. And, hey, it very well could be for any of us. So, so being an educator, of course, continue to serve within the, Hmong ministry. Mm-hmm. And again, maybe even possibly teach Hmong, because, a lot of our kids now, the generation behind me, their Hmong is very little to non-existent. And so, you know, I think it's embarrassing to maybe go take a Hmong class when you are Hmong and your instructor's name is Mr. Miller, you know, and he's from Ireland, you know? So it was like, wait, you're Hmong and you learn Hmong from an Irish teacher? You know, like, that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that, to me, is it's very important to have, and being able to speak your own native tongue, and that's also something that, you know, you cannot physically take from me. You know, kind of like my faith or my salvation, my language that God has instilled in me. You know, yeah, you cannot physically take that from me, no matter what you do. And so, I just wish that the generation behind me could recognize that along with me. Because I'm still learning a lot of the language or the idioms that we use, and it can get confusing. But again, in due time, that you know, it all makes sense again. So, but yeah, those are probably some of the things within the next few years that I would like to see come through to fruition.
Right. Wow, that's great. Well, thanks so much for sharing your stories, Chad. In the next episode,
you're welcome.
Yeah, in the next episode, we'll love to hear more about your ministry among youth and young adults. Well, thank you, listeners, for listening. And you can hear more podcasts at NC Asian American Ministries. And please subscribe it so you can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you, and I will see you in the next episode.